reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the church calendar year. And again, our lessons focus on the subject matter of the end of times. Our first reading being from the book of the prophet Malachi. It's found on page 1026. And we read Malachi 3, beginning at verse 13. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found on page 1259. It's from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1130. And we read Luke 23, beginning at verse 27. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, The days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today, where we read, you have said it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test. And they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. This is our text. Most of you are probably familiar, at least vaguely, with the name Peyton Manning. At this point in time, maybe you just know him as the guy who, on commercials, sings Nationwide is on your side. But for those of you who aren't football fans, the reason he gets to do those commercials is because he was one of the greater quarterbacks of the game. He has two Super Bowl rings to his name. And some centers who never liked him. The center is that guy who snaps the ball. There was a good reason they didn't like him. Unlike many of the other players on the team, they'd always have to show up early for practice, taking snaps. just to make sure that exchange between the quarterback and the center always went right. But he did something else that really annoyed the centers that worked with him. Every 3 to 4 weeks, he had something he called the wet ball drill. They'd have one of the trainers bring out a box full of footballs soaked in water and a squirt bottle. He would get under center, and then he'd instruct the trainer to start squirting the hands of the center like it was pouring rain outside. And then they would snap the ball again and again and again and again, making sure that even though the ball was soaking wet and the center's hands were soaking wet, that exchange would still go perfectly. They did it before practice. So by the time practice started, the center's shorts were soaked. And he'd have to practice all day in his soaked shorts. To my knowledge, no other NFL quarterbacks ever did that. His first Super Bowl was against Chicago, who had one of the best defenses in the league, and a quarterback that had been doing pretty well. But that particular Super Bowl was outdoors, and as the game began, the rain began to pour. There was never, ever a problem with the exchange between the center and the quarterback, who was Peyton Manning. And most of his throws were on target. That was not the case with Chicago, who had 5 turnovers that day and lost the game. And after the game, the center was not angry at his quarterback anymore. He had a Super Bowl ring to his possession thanks to all those drills that he had come to despise. I thought of him as I was reading the words of our Old Testament lesson for today. And a complaint that I think most, if not all, Christians at one point in their life or another raise up to God. What is the profit? Lord, what's the use? What's the use of keeping your charger all the mourning that we go through? The arrogant, they seem blessed. The evildoers seem to get away with it. They test you and they escape. And it's not just Christians that have difficulty with this world. So often our culture itself seems to breed, if you will, a short-term view of things. We shun the difficulties, the struggles, as if they have no value at all. We want things quick, we want things now. And goals that require patience fall to the wayside. We just don't know how to wait anymore. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. One of the reasons we need to gather together here, to speak with one another and also to hear the Lord speak to us, is to be reminded that things are not always quick and easy. And as Christians, we take the longest view of life of anybody. Because we know that the things that God wishes to instill into our hearts, the promises that He makes, the hope that He gives, is not ultimately to be found in this world. But that doesn't mean we're forgotten. We take our cue from Jesus and from His own life. We look to the cross and there discover what life is about. Why would anybody want the cross? What joy is to be found there? What happiness? What peace? And yet Christ takes on human flesh and comes into our world for that very purpose. Because He had, if you will, a long view of things. And understood that sometimes the greatest glory comes through the greatest sacrifice and the most struggles. He endures suffering and pain, loneliness, despair. All the things that our sinful human nature despises. Those things that occasionally make us cry out, what's the point? Especially as we see other people in the world not going through the struggles, not going through the sacrifices that we make. And seemingly having more fun at it. The evildoers prosper. They put God to test. And they escape. But there is a book of remembrance that God has written. There is a joy that is to be ours. And it's a joy that greater than any other joy we can experience in this world. And to a certain extent, as Jesus is going through the agony of the cross, even there He begins to experience a little bit of that joy. For His joy is to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring peace to those who troubled. To assure people in despair that they will be rescued. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, there are a couple of thieves that are crucified with Him. One of the thieves is filled with anger. Probably anger at the world, anger at himself. And though he, along with all of Jerusalem, knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong, although Jesus had never done anything wrong to him, yet this man in his pain simply joins in with the crowds below, making fun of Jesus, mocking him. It's how he's lived his life. He probably figures, what's the point of changing now? There's nothing for me to hope for. I'm mad at the world. I'm mad at everybody. I might as well yell at Jesus too. But then another man being crucified with Jesus begins to see life differently. He knows he has no hope for this world. But somehow, through the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart, he begins to believe something that doesn't even seem logical. This man dying in the same way next to him is his Savior. And he can give him hope and a life when the rest of the world would say, you have none. And as life is slipping away from both he and Jesus, he looks to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And even in the midst of all the agony that Jesus was enduring, I somehow believe that a smile began to crease his face. And that as he looked at this man dying next to him, there was no anger in his eyes or sorrow even, but compassion and hope. And he says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And my friends, those words are true. Yes, there are a lot of things we have to go through in this life. All the pains, all the troubles that afflicts the world also are going to afflict us. And even more than that, like our Lord Jesus himself, we may face mockery. People may persecute us. Because we are Christians, the world may make it more difficult than for us than it might for others. But it isn't useless. We aren't without hope. We just take a longer view of things. And we gather here regularly to remind ourselves of that fact. And those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds. Through faith in Jesus, amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission. All rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.